Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm going to give you a little update about what's been happening with the whole issue about same-sex blessings. I'm not going to focus specifically on that because I want to talk about particularly the courage and clarity of Archbishop Charles Chaput, not only in the current issue, which he's really offering some really important insights I'm going to share with you in just a minute or so, but also his whole life. You know, he started off as a bishop in Rapid City, South Dakota. Then he became the Archbishop of Denver. And while he was the Archbishop of Denver, he did a fabulous job of just welcoming lots of men, women, priests, renewal movements in the church, and providing a really welcoming environment for them in the Archdiocese of Denver. That's where FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, got its start and was welcomed by the Archbishop. That's where the Augustine Institute was welcomed by the Archbishop. That's where lots of laymen and laywomen really got the Episcopal encouragement they needed to feel called to step out in mission, which they're doing now all over the country, all over the world. But before I talk about some of his recent statements, which I think are really worthy of a very wide audience, I'd like to give you a little update about what's been happening with the same-sex blessing controversy. Well, the document was published just before Christmas, and it caused a big immediate stir, and it's still causing a stir. It has not calmed down. Almost every day, there's a new bishop or a new bishop's conference kind of making their views known. One of the most powerful things that happened was that the entire kind of conference of African bishops' conferences came out with a joint statement saying, not only is this not appropriate in the African context, but this is not what Scripture says. What the African bishops are saying is just really what needs to be said. It's the gospel. But anyway, recently, the North African Bishops' Conference came out with a statement breaking with the rest of the African bishops. Now, the North African Bishops' Conference is like Morocco, Algeria, Libya, and it has extremely small Catholic communities, and the bishops are usually liberal Europeans who got appointed to those places because of their historical value, but there's not much vital Catholicism going on there. And so it's really funny. They've kind of said, you know, what the rest of Africa said, all those African countries where the church is growing so powerfully, well, we're not really comfortable with what they're saying. And they kind of came down with a watered-down statement affirming the document of same-sex blessings. And anyway, I'm not really interested in discussing the pros and the cons and all the arguments and all the different interpretations and all the different subtle distinctions that people are finding in the document, either to agree with it or disagree with it. Cardinal Zen just came out with a statement saying, boy, there's so many questionable things in this document. It just really, as it stands, it just doesn't bring the clarity that we need as a church. And quite honestly, some of these things verge on heresy. And if that's the case, Archbishop Fernandez, who wrote the document, who published it with the approval of the Pope, really needs to resign. So that's pretty significant. Cardinal Seurat, oh, what a holy cardinal he is, has came out and said this is a confusing document. It's really muddling the issues that need to be so clear today. Then the John Paul II Academy, which was formed after Pope Francis basically neutered the John Paul II pontifical entity in Rome and installed dissenting theologians in its ranks, which is so ironic. John Paul II instituted a marriage and a family established by Pope John Paul II to strengthen marriage and a family. Now it's been taken over by people who are leaning in a different direction. And so in response to that, the John Paul II Academy was founded, and they just came out with a statement again saying that Cardinal Fernandez should resign. So whatever you think about the documents, there's no question at all that it has unleashed absolute confusion and chaos in the church. In fact, Archbishop Chaput talked about how a Protestant friend of his, a scholar, sent a text to his Catholic friends after the document was published saying, Francis has unleashed chaos in your communion. And that's really the case. So let's get to what some of the things that Archbishop Chaput says about it. He actually came out with two statements, two carefully considered essays, really. One was on December 19th, just after the document was published. It was called Papal Power and the Obedience of the Faithful. And in that document, he talked about the danger of creeping infallibility. It was actually a very extensive review of a book published on papal infallibility, some of which he agreed with, some of which he didn't. But he says that there really is such a thing as creeping infallibility, celebrity, authority. And we've been so used to popes using that celebrity power in such a good way recently that we're a bit of a loss about how to deal with a pope who maybe isn't kind of using it in completely good ways. And he says what we really need to do is establish structures that provide real collegiality, that provide real mature adult opportunities for bishops to really interact with the pope. This is what he says. He says, a model must be constructed whereby the pope is clearly recognizable as the focus of doctrinal unity, but which will simultaneously provide a structure for his activities that can inhibit the kind of abuse of office, which combined with and encouraging the passivity of too many Catholics, has threatened the church since papal infallibility was defined at Vatican I and has now seriously infected it. And then Archbishop Chaput is aware that this has been proposed in the past. It's a heresy called conciliarism, where the pope can't really have some unique authority, but has to only exercise it in the absolutely overwhelming, overriding authority of the council. So Archbishop Chaput says, if that sounds like a disguised form of conciliarism, it needn't be so. The primacy and authority of the Petrine office are vital to the church, so long as Peter remains faithful to the Word of God and consistent Catholic teaching. In ensuring Peter's faithfulness, diocesan bishops are more than simply franchise managers of Catholicism Incorporated. They have the duty of obedience to the Holy See and all things true to the faith, yes, but they have no obligation of unthinking agreement. The obedience of bishops should be shaped by the candor of mature adults. And I am disappointed. I know many bishops have deep concerns about these things, but even in their own diocese, they're not bringing the clarity that's needed. They have an undue deference to the pope in a way that's kind of undermining their own authority, their own responsibility. They're going to have to answer to God. Have I been a good shepherd in my diocese? And without disobeying the pope, without showing him disrespect, they can positively preach the truth of the church and areas of sexuality, which they really need to do, because people are left with confusion, contradiction. And so Archbishop Chaput is talking about passivity amongst Catholics, but he's also talking about passivity amongst bishops who have an over deference to the pope and are not expressing their proper role in the collegiality of the bishops with the pope. He says, I know from experience the instinct to avoid such candor. The author of this book that he's reviewing says he might describe it as episcopal servility or cowardness. Far more often, it's a prudent fear of scandalizing the faithful and causing division. And some people are saying, why are you even talking about these things? It's just going to cause problems. Well, believe it or not, this confusion is coming to a parish where you live. If it's not there already, everybody's going to be affected by it in one way or the other. Archbishop Chaput says, I'd argue at this point, we're well past worrying about such things. The papacy and the Vatican will look very different in the decades ahead, whatever we do, if only because of finances. The Holy See in its current form is unsustainable, and shoring up structures is not our greatest challenge. The overriding issue facing the Christian world today is not a matter of money or office space. It's anthropological, not structural. It's summed up in Psalm 8, verse 4. Who and what is a human being? What constitutes our human nature and dignity? Are we created or self-creating? What, if anything, do our bodies mean? Are we embodied spirits and organic wholes or autonomous wills wrapped in disposable, remodelable clay? A synod on synodality can't begin to address any of this. Then he says we need to be balanced here. Francis has done a lot of good things, his care for the poor, his exhortations to go out of the periphery and reach out to people is really, really very good. His clear teaching on respect for life and against abortion and against issues like gender fluidity and, you know, all that is really good. But he says it's also a fact that his over-reliance on the society of Jesus is unhealthy, considering the society's seeming surrender to the spirit of the age in too many instances. I think I mentioned that in my original video on same-sex blessings. Then he says, his manner can often seem mean-spirited. His complaints about the church in the United States are insulting and uninformed, and they embarrass the dignity of his office. They also discourage many bishops, priests, religious, and lay faithful who heroically live the gospel in an age of aggressive secularism and hostility to the church. And most regrettably, his ambiguity on matters of doctrine creates confusion and feeds division in the church when we already have a surfeit of both. If saying these things is disloyal, then so is the truth. What we need now is for the papacy to return to its primary task of strengthening and uniting the faithful. This requires stability, clarity, and the embrace of spiritual fatherhood. The Petrine ministry is an office unlike any other because it's the rock. It should protect scripture and tradition and reject paradigm shifts that subtly but significantly change the nature of theology. Yeah. When Archbishop Fernandez published this document on paradigm shift in theology, I did a video on it, and no, we don't need a paradigm shift in theology. We need faithfulness. We need sensitivity. We need spiritual attunement. We need real knowledge based on our respect for the inspired and errant word of God and the theology that flows from that. So anyway, that's the document he published. Papal Power and the Obedience of the Faithful on December 19th. Then on December 22nd, he published another article, this time in First Things, and he titled it The Cost of Making a Mess. He was talking about Pope Francis's comment early in his pontificate saying, go out and make a mess. And Pope Archbishop Chaput says, this is not the mess that we need. One of the standards the church uses to measure the quality of her leaders is a simple line from Scripture. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So it was for Paul. So it is now. So it is for local pastors and bishops, including the Bishop of Rome. Confusion among the faithful can often be a matter of innocent individuals who hear but fail to understand the word. Confused teaching, however, is another matter. It's never excusable. The transmission of Christian truth requires prudence and patience because humans are not machines, but it also demands clarity and consistency. One of the greatest criticisms of the documents that are coming out is they're not consistent internally and they're not consistent with other documents that have come out. They're not consistent with the tradition. It doesn't mean that they're not authentic. documents in the magisterium, but it does mean that there's a whole lot of sorting out that needs to go out in order to bring out a clear picture that really is faithful to scripture tradition and kind of properly interprets all the ambiguities that have left so much open doors for people to move in a direction apart from the true faith. Deliberate or persistent ambiguity, anything that fuels misunderstanding or seems to leave an opening for objective sinful behavior, is not of God. Now, I have to say, that's a brave statement. That's a clear statement. That's a courageous statement. I'm actually entitling this video the Courage and Clarity of Archbishop Chaput. He's really talking like it is. He's really saying it like it is. Deliberate or persistent ambiguity, which a strong case is being made by many people, is characteristic of the strategy of Pope Francis and now Archbishop Cardinal Fernandez. Deliberate or persistent ambiguity, anything that fuels misunderstanding or seems to leave an opening for objectively sinful behavior is not of God. So right after the document was published, we have priests with rainbow stoles or well-known advocates for an accepting but not calling to repentance attitude towards the LGBTQ community, interpreted the document as, hey, it's good to bless these people, even when it's obvious what you're blessing is people who are in a, not just an irregular relationship, but a sinful relationship. Archbishop Chaput goes on to say, a key role of the Pope is to unify the church, not divide her, especially on matters of faith and morals. He has a similar duty to unify the bishops and not divide them. Also, an essential task of a loving pastor is to correct as well as accompany. Blessings should encourage, but also, when necessary, challenge. People in same-sex and other non-marital sexual unions need a challenging accompaniment from the church. Popes, bishops, priests, and deacons are called by their vocations to be prophets as well as pastors. Pope Francis often seems to separate these roles while Jesus himself always embodied both in his ministry. His words to the woman caught in adultery were not simply your sins are forgiven, but also go and sin no more. That's just really missing, really, really missing. You know, even when people may be not completely culpable for what they're doing, maybe they might be well-intentioned, and this is what Archbishop Fernandez in his writings has often referred to, that people can be doing objectively wrong things, but not be culpable because that's the best they could do at the time. Well, that is not the approach that Jesus took, because when you're doing objectively wrong things, even though you're not completely culpable for various reasons, they're still very wrong things, and they damage people who do them, and they damage other people who they're involved with. And so Jesus says, you know, not only should you not commit adultery, but you should not welcome lust in your heart. And then he goes on to say, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. Better to enter the kingdom missing an eye or missing a hand or missing a foot than to go down to hell with an intact body. That's what Jesus said. Now, that is Jewish hyperbole, and he's not actually wanting us to cut off our hand or pluck out our eye or cut off our foot. But what he is wanting us to do is to do everything we possibly can to turn away from serious sin, because serious sin will send us to hell and damage our life here in this world. So people need to be told that. We need to hear the voice of the good shepherd who's telling people what they really need to do to be saved. They need to turn away from their serious sin and not resign themselves to it, not say it's the best I can do. No, it's not the best that anybody could do, because serious sin will kill us. Or how about in the area of sexual sin, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, we just heard recently at church, avoid immorality. That is a really bad translation. All kinds of scripture scholars are telling me that what it's really saying is flee sexual immorality. Flee sexual immorality. There's an urgency to it. There's a strength to it. There's a specificity to it. You know, Pope Francis has said, you know, sexual sins are the least serious sins. That's not true. That's not what the scripture says. That's not what the church teaches. There's seven capital sins. One of them is lust, and all of them are capital. All of them are serious. All of them are could send you to hell if you don't repent before you die. And Paul says, don't kind of get accustomed to not being able to avoid sexual sin, but flee sexual immorality. Because other sins are not about a man's own body, but this sin is about your own body. And you are now, if you're baptized, part of the body of Christ. So stop it. Honestly, you know, if it takes going to a 12-step group or getting rid of your computer or kind of canceling your Netflix subscription or whatever is leading you into sin, you got to do it. You got to do it. And that's what we're not hearing in all these documents. We're hearing about welcoming and mercy and accompaniment and blessing. We need to be hearing about repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Repent. And Archbishop Chaput is fortunately reminding us of that. Relationships that the church has always seen as sinful are now often described as irregular. This neuters the reality of morally defective behavior and leads to confusion about what we can and can't call sin. Well, committing fornication, having sex with somebody outside of marriage, is sin. Adultery, having sex with somebody else's marriage partner, is sin. Having sex with somebody of the same sex is sin. And just a couple years ago, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, in response to a question, said, no, we can't bless same-sex relationships because we can't bless sin. This whole irregular relationships thing, it's departing from what's revealed to us about what's really going on in irregular relationships. It's sin. I know it's really challenging today in the culture. I know so many people have bought into permissiveness in this area. So many people have said, well, the church has got to get with the times. That's what the German bishops are saying. Of course, what a disaster that's going to be. The church isn't going to get stronger by agreeing with the world. The church isn't going to get stronger by changing its terminology from sin to irregular relationships. The church is going to be laughed at. The world is laughing at the church. What people are saying, yeah, the church is finally getting with it. The church is finally coming around. That's not what we need right now. What we need right now is a strong proclamation that Jesus Christ is the only way in which sin can be forgiven. Jesus Christ is the only way in which people can be reconciled to God. Jesus Christ is the only way that people can come back to the Father's house. And if you don't die in friendship with Jesus, if you die in your sins unrepentant, you're lost. Archbishop Chaput goes on to say, finally, while the document does not in fact change church teaching on marriage, it does seem to change church teaching on the sinfulness of same-sex activity. Marriage isn't the point of fiducia supplicans. Its point is the moral nature of same-sex unions, and this is a crucial distinction. Whether the hearer is delighted or angered by the latest Vatican text, the practical fallout is a wave of confusion in the bloodstream of the church at Christmas, a season meant for joy, but now tangled up with frustration, doubt, and conflict. So it's been like, you know, going on 2 months now since the document came out, and the confusion is not getting resolved. It's not dying down. It's revealing deep divisions amongst bishops' conferences. I think now at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Scripture says, there must be divisions amongst you so that the authentic doctrine can stand out. So let's hope, let's pray, because I think it is the case, that this is an opportunity for a cleansing of the church. This is a chance for the church to come together more committed to the gospel than ever before. This is going to be very challenging because many bishops and many priests have already gone in a different direction, and I don't know how the Lord's going to work that out, but I think this could be an opportunity for the gospel to be spoken with more boldness, with more confidence, with more love, with more urgency than we've heard it preached for a long time from our shepherds. And I really have to say that Archbishop Chaput and his whole career, not just in his comments here, has really been a hero, personal hero for me and for many people. Let's look at his final comments here. In response to pushback against the document, Pope Francis told Vatican staff that it was important to keep advancing and growing in their understanding of the truth. Fearfully sticking to rules that give the appearance of avoiding problems, but only ends up hurting the service that the Vatican Curia is called to give to the Church. Let us remain vigilant against rigid ideological positions that often, under the guise of good intentions, separate us from reality and prevent us from moving forward, the Pope said. We are called and said to set out and journey like the Magi, following the light that always desires to lead us on, at times along unexplored paths and new roads. Archbishop Poo rightly says, characterizing fidelity to Catholic belief and practice as fearfully sticking to rules is irresponsible and false. The faithful deserve better than such treatment. It's also worth noting that heading down unexplored paths and new roads can easily lead into the desert rather than Bethlehem. Over the past decade, ambiguity on certain matters of Catholic doctrine and practice has become a pattern for the current pontificate. The Pope's criticism of American Catholics has too often been unjust and uninformed. Much of the German Church is effectively in schism, yet Rome first unwisely tolerated German synodal path and then reacted too slowly to preclude the negative results. At a time when fatherhood and male Christian spiritual leadership are in crises, the Holy Father has asked his International Theological Commission to work on demasculizing the Church. This has come on under the radar. A lot of people haven't noticed this. This is bad. At a time when almost everybody who's serving in the Church is a woman, in the ordinary parish, where vast, overwhelming majorities of people serving in religious education and all kinds of ways in the Church are women, thanks be to God that they're there and that they're serving. But when men look at the altar these days, they oftentimes see Father and the ladies. And there's not many visible, numerical pictures of strong Catholic men professing their faith and standing for it, not just in the sanctuary, but in other situations as well. I don't know. I don't know who came up with this idea that we need to demasculinize the Church, but I'll tell you what, we need just the opposite. We need to encourage Catholic men, the Catholic men's movements that work right now in the United States and hopefully other countries are desperately needed to encourage Catholic men as husbands, as fathers, as disciples. Saying these things, Archbishop Chaput concludes, will invite claims of disloyalty. But the real disloyalty is not speaking the truth with love. So I want to thank the Lord for Archbishop Chaput. I want to thank Archbishop Chaput for his clear leadership for so many, many years, from Rapid City to Denver to Philadelphia, now as a retired archbishop, continuing to speak the truth in love, saying things that are so obvious. It's really true that in some of these areas, the emperor doesn't have any clothes and people are acting like the emperor does have clothes. And it takes somebody like Archbishop Chaput who says, you know what? There's a problem here. The emperor doesn't have clothes on. And what that means is that this is not the gospel. This is not the true role of Peter to unify the Church. Sowing confusion and ambiguity is not from the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Archbishop Chaput. Thank you, Lord, for sending us true shepherds like him. This isn't the first time I've done a video on a bishop. I remember I did one on Archbishop Gomez saying, Archbishop Gomez just hit a home run. Who's up to bat next? Made a tremendously good, clear statement on woke culture. I remember Archbishop Aquila and then Bishop Papraki gave really clear responses to some of the awful stuff that Cardinal McElroy and Cardinal Hollerich said about admitting people to the Eucharist and same-sex relationships and other things as well. And there's many good shepherds in the church, and they're speaking out, but it's also revealing that this confusion, this chaos, and there's people that are drifting in a different direction. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Catholic Church. We thank you for how, even though you're permitting this confusion and contradiction and division, you've got a plan to bring good out of it. And we thank you for the good shepherd you're raising up, like Archbishop Chaput and many others who are speaking the truth in love. Amen. I'd like to encourage you to subscribe to our channel if you haven't already, because I'll be continuing to comment on these issues, unfortunately. I wish they wouldn't still keep happening, but there are some other really important things I'd like to say about, particularly the African Bishop Statement. I'd like to try to identify some of the deeper issues under all these things. The sexual issues are presenting themselves first, but there's deeper issues under the surface I'd like to try to surface. So subscribe to our channel and click on the notification bell, and you'll be able to keep in touch as we keep offering what we hope is helpful insight and encouraging insight into what's happening right now in this very critical time. God bless you.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.